Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
According to the laws, yes, you were allowed to have a Bible, but the government will lie and say to Romanian people, because the law was not published, will say to Romanian people, you cannot have the Bible, and I'm going to jail you for that.
What would you do if it were illegal for you to own a Bible? Would you risk it? Would you stand up publicly for your faith? I'm Roger Marsh, and our guest today on Family Talk did just that and so much more. Here's your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, to tell you more about it.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and with me in the studio today is an amazing woman with an incredible story to tell. Her name is Virginia Prodan, and she was born in communist Romania under a brutal rule of Nicolae Ceausescu, and she grew up with a strong desire for discovering and revealing truth. And as a matter of fact, I have her bio here in front of me. I'm not going to read it all. But she was charged with treason. She was kidnapped, beaten, tortured, placed under house arrest, and came within seconds of her enemies killing her. We're going to hear the details of that. Virginia, you also grew up in an unstable family, didn't you, in
Yes.
Romania?
Yes.
All right, let's start with the very beginning. Tell us about your childhood and what you experienced.
My childhood was really special because I always felt like I didn't belong because of my red hair and freckles and the color of my skin that was very white compared with the family I grew up.
Everybody else was olive color.
Mm-hmm, and black hair. But not only that, but I was kept in the house. And if I was allowed outside, I had to cover my hair. I was told all the time that I don't belong to that family, and they wanted to find someone who will adopt me. I was told many times growing up that I was there only to serve them. And that was the negative part. But the positive part is that out of that pain, God helped me to put on my heart the desire to find the truth about who I was.
How early do you remember that rejection?
I believe that I was six. I believe that I was six because around 7 years old, I was told that I have to go out of the family and start working.
Did you ever ask who your parents were, biological parents?
No, because I live in a totalitarian regime kind of
so
country.
So you wouldn't dare?
I will not dare to ask those questions. They would have brought more punishment for me. So
just
I had
for
to
asking,
just
who
for
am
asking.
I?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, you have to know and understand that I grew up in a communist country. I call the communist country the land of lies and a prison land, where truth was nowhere to be found and everything was controlled by the government. And every question that you have about something that the government will do, it will be considered an anti-government statement and people will lose their job or will go to jail. Wherever the government establishes will reflect in the family.
So it was absolutely brutal.
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Based on lies.
Based on lies. Yes.
How long was he dictator?
He was dictator from 1965 to 1989.
Yeah, when he was executed.
He was executed at Christmas time.
Yes. By the people.
By his own people.
They finally got enough.
Yes, yes, after so many years.
I have heard by the late Charles Colson, who was there, and other people, that people of faith really played a role in bringing him down.
Yes. First of all, if you were an active Christian, and after I accepted Christ, I was a very active Christian because I defended Christians and human rights cases against the government, and the government did not like Christians.
Yes.
Because when you are Christian, you worship God. He required us to worship Him.
And that was against the law.
That was against the law, yes. And you had to make a choice, and you had to pay for that. You go to church, and you pay for going to church and not worshiping the dictator. I did more than that. I took him to court for persecuting churches and Christians. And that was something that he never expected for a tiny little woman like me. But that's what God does.
And you have become a lawyer, so that's what you mean by taking him to court. But we're way ahead. Let's go back now. You're in your elementary school years. What happened then?
Well, like I said, I watched my parents at home being very obedient to the government outside and doing whatever it was required. But inside of home, I watched them several times whispering what they really thought about the government. And I was shocked as a kid, 6, 7 years old. And somewhere in my heart, I said, I don't want to live this kind of life. And also, I watched our family reunions having several lawyers coming to our family reunions, and some of my relatives will go and ask questions. And in my mind as a kid, I worked like this. Well, I don't want to live like my parents, but those lawyers looked like they know the answer to some questions. So I decided I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to find out the truth, and I'm going to speak up for the truth. But God had a better plan than this one.
You were a very good student, weren't you?
Yes, yes. Because I never, never accepted my circumstances. I did not know the Lord, but I believe He put in my heart that I can raise about the circumstances.
What was your relationship with your siblings?
They had power over me, no matter the age. They were younger or older. I was a servant. I had to serve them. And I never had the chance to question. If I questioned, I would have been punished.
Did you guess that you were adopted?
Yes, somewhere in my heart, yes.
What color hair did your parents have?
Brown hair.
Both of them.
Both of them, yeah. Yeah, there was no person in the town where I live.
You know, that genetically, that can't happen.
Yes.
You can't have a redheaded child from dark skin and dark hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But you didn't know that then.
No, I did not know.
You just felt different.
Yes, and I wanted so much to find the truth about myself. I wanted that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Where did you begin to get information that maybe you were adopted and maybe you didn't belong in that family in that sense?
Some people will say different things behind my back and I hurt them. But somewhere deep in my heart, and like I said, even my mom, the parents that I grew up for 18 years there, especially the mother, Elena, she told me several times that I don't belong, that I was there to serve them. What's something more clear than that?
You can have. How did you cope with that as a little girl, saying essentially you're not loved, you don't belong here? You're here for our convenience, and you really don't even belong in this family. What'd that do to you?
It was painful, but I learned to read and connect and make friends out of characters in the book, Jane Eyre and other characters, and think about if they were able to be victorious in their lives, I can be victorious. And I found role models.
So you did it with reading.
Reading, yes, and dreaming. That even walking in the morning at 7 o'clock, going to work and having maybe a bad day before, but seeing the sun shining and warming my body, I was looking up and saying, there is someone somewhere that loves me. And that was God, but I had no clue at that time.
You were reaching for him and didn't know who he was.
No, I did not know.
You know what's really interesting, Virginia? He knew you and was reaching for you.
Yes,
at the same time. There's no way you would be sitting in that chair today.
Yes.
With a testimony on your lips, given those circumstances, if the Lord had not reached out to you.
Yes, he was always there for me. I just did not know him.
After elementary school, you went on to high school, and then you had to take tests to see if you could go to college, and you passed them.
Mm-hmm. But it was more than that, because under communist or socialist regime, you do not decide your career. The government decides for you. And in order to be admitted to take the test for law school, my political file had to pass the government admission step.
There is no freedom there.
No freedom. And from the time that you're born in communist or socialist to the time that you die, you have a secret file that the communist keeps track on you. And in that file...
Is that still true?
It is in every single country. Romania is not communist now anymore, but in every single country it is. And if we adopt this kind of system in America, that's what's going to happen.
You know we're toying with it.
Yes,
with socialism.
Yes, we are. This is what I'm saying. We better pay attention to that and not doing it.
Well, how did they come to approve you for law school after you graduate from college?
Well, like I said, first the political file had to be accepted by the secret police. Inside, there were three questions. First, my parents were never against the communists and were never arrested. My parents never spoke up against the communist system. And the third, my parents were not Christians. So I passed.
So Christianity was specifically outlawed.
Yes. And the reason is because after you graduate from law school, you will become the attorney general, the ambassador, the judge, the Supreme Court judge or attorney. And you, according to the communist system, you were supposed to be loyal to the government and fight against the people of Romania. I had no clue at that time. But that was the reason why the communist system had such a strict procedure for admission.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to get professional credentials who will then use that skill and that position in order to oppose the government.
That's true. But they didn't know that God had another plan for me and my life.
Where did you become aware of that plan?
Well, after years of searching, finishing law school, I finished law school, I started to practice as a lawyer, and I was so full of enthusiasm and thinking every single morning, today, everything that I read and learned in those law books, I'm going to practice and I'm going to touch the truth. And after a few years, I came to my office and I said to my secretary, I don't want to be a lawyer. I cannot find the truth. It's all my research is for nothing. And she looked up at me.
Had you already started law school?
I was done with law school and I was practicing.
So your professors, your law professors did not tell you the truth. You knew they were lying to you.
They were telling me what the law is, what you have to do and everything. But none of the law books told me about the truth, who the truth is.
You ever hear the word freedom?
Not in Romania. The freedom was for the government and the secret police. That was their freedom to do whatever they wanted.
Ever heard the word liberty in reference to you?
Not in reference to me or to the people of Romania.
Do you ever long for it? Have you ever longed to make your own decisions?
Yes.
And not be forced into what the government would have.
That was why I went to law school. That was why I was searching for the truth, because that was my desire.
Did you know that many people were murdered by that regime?
Yes, yes.
Was that common knowledge?
It was very common knowledge. My next door neighbor, my classmate, just for saying that the price of the milk increased or some other complaint, small complaint, they disappear. I was very aware of that. Yes.
So what they told you is that they'd gone to prison.
Yes.
But or, in fact, they never came back.
Yes.
What an oppressive regime.
Yes. That's communist. That's socialism.
Okay. So you graduated from law school and you didn't like what you had heard. You didn't like what the government was doing. Mm-hmm. And yet you've got to practice within that system. You can't get up and talk about Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right? No, I didn't know at that time Christ. Yeah,
even if you knew him, you couldn't tell it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What next? You're roadblocked, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, every single day I was hoping that there will be the day when I will meet the truth face to face. I will touch it. Until one day, after a few years of practicing, I came to my office and I said, I don't want to be a lawyer. And my secretary, I said, I don't want to be a lawyer because I can find the truth. My secretary looked at me like, oh, welcome to reality. Where have you been? You have a client in your office. Take his file. So I went into my office, and indeed, it was a client there. I worked with him for at least a year, and he was one of those clients that really troubled me. In a land of hopelessness, he was always full of hope. When things around were devastating, he was joyful. He troubled me. But I was so busy, I didn't have time to stop and ask. But that day, inside of my mind, I was so troubled. Where is the truth? Where is the truth? And while he was talking, I just looked at him and I pointed to him and I said, I want to have in my life what you have in your life. Peace, joy that you have. And he said, do you go to church? And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, brother, what in the world going to church has to do with finding the truth? But I was polite and I responded, yes, at Christmas and Easter, it's a custom. But he insisted, would you like to go to my church? And I said, yes. So he wrote the streets and address of the church, and the next Sunday I was at church. And I walk in the church and the choir was singing, Sinner, Come Home. I heard Come Home, Sinner. Did not have any knowledge. I didn't know what sinner was, but it was welcoming. I stood with my girls on the right side of the church with other ladies, and the pastor came, opened the Bible, and said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And I was glued.
You know that blesses me.
Yes, and I was thinking, finally, somebody said it's the truth. And the pastor spoke to me, not to anyone, to me. And that day, I found the truth. And that changed
but
my
you,
life
you
forever.
You didn't have a Bible.
No, we didn't have.
And I did. So you hadn't read the Word.
No, no. In fact, when I heard the Word, I am the truth and the life, I believe that I even said loud, what? And the lady beside me put the Bible on my lap and showed me the Bible.
Was that legal?
It was risky. It was legal to have the Bible in the church, but the government of communists, the communist government works in many deceitful ways. I will explain.
Would
later.
They allow you to have a Bible at home?
According to the laws, yes, you were allowed to have a Bible, but the government will lie and say to Romanian people because the law was not published. Will say to Romanian people, you cannot have the Bible, and I'm going to jail you for that. That's the way the
What'd you do with the Bible that the woman next to you put in your lap?
I look at the Bible.
You brought
it
home?
No. That day I accepted Christ, and the pastor invited me in his office, and he gave me a Bible. So I took the Bible at home because I wanted to read. Because I was thinking, finally, after years of my search, I know the truth. I want to know what's in this book. So I brought it home. Yes.
Isn't that incredible? Looking back on it, can you believe what happened and how you got that truth? Almost incidentally from a client
mm-hmm.
who invited you to come to church.
Yeah. But God put that fire from the time that I was 6 years old.
We have a phrase that we use in the West and in other places around the world called repentance. Mm-hmm. Do you know what repentance is?
Yes. When you admit that you are a sinner,
yes,
you ask the Lord for forgiveness, and you accept His Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and you live your life walking with
Did
Christ.
Did you get that? Did you understand that?
Yes, yes, yes. I understood perfectly from a pastor that later on I realized that he was not even formally educated like we educate. He educated himself and others because it was illegal under communists to be a pastor.
Have you ever heard the word contrite?
Mm-hmm. That you feel sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, for.
Broken.
Broken, yes.
Awareness of sin and a turning away from it.
Yes.
You experienced all that?
I did.
As this young girl who had really never had much exposure?
Yes, I had, but not only that, the church trained me for 6 months in who God is and who I am.
So what would you do in addition to Sunday morning? Did you go to classes?
No, we didn't have classes. We didn't have a word or things that we have,
No written material.
Not written material because the government will confiscate. I would just talk with the pastor, and the pastor will ask me questions, and the pastor will respond to me. I will ask, how do I know that God hear my prayers? How do I know that I'm forgiven? And so forth. So for 6 months, he really trained me. And it was so important for the job that I had to do and for the pressure from the government to be under surveillance, daily interrogation.
He had never been to seminary.
Had never been to seminary. No,
and
no.
Probably didn't have many theological books.
Yeah, he did not. But
he got it. He understood it.
Yes.
And conveyed it to
and
you.
He knew how to do it.
Many people scoff at Christians and say, you're just doing what you were taught as a child. You were raised in a certain church, and therefore that's what you are. You didn't have any of those advantages. Mm-hmm. And none of the, the kind of training that we give to children of Christians here in this country. Mm-hmm. You found it out. Almost incidentally, but the Lord put it in your hands.
Yes, and you know what? Later on, I realized that this pastor, because he didn't have training, many times he would make grammar mistakes and everything. When I accepted Christ, I did not hear any of those mistakes.
Is that right?
The gospel was so clear. And then later on, even with his mistake, I had so much admiration. Like he was opening heaven for me. Those grammar mistakes did not count for me. I was just so happy to spend time with him and the other people from the church to teach me what they were supposed to teach me about Christ.
Virginia, we're out of time, but we're going to talk to you again next time. And I should have said earlier, but I'll say it now. This is written in a book called Saving My Assassin. It's published by Tyndale. And you have laid all this out there in addition to what happened next, which we're going to talk about next time. You know what you do to me? You bless my life.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm sure there are many other people listening to you today who have been blessed by what you've had to say, because you really do love the Lord, don't you?
Yes, yes, with all my heart. I walk with Him and I talk with Him like I talk with you every day. He is real to me more than I'm real to you.
Next time I want you to explain to those who don't know Him and haven't experienced what you've experienced, I want you to tell them how they can find it too. Would you do that?
Yes.
It's our secret.
Yes.
Next time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Well, friend, if you would like more information on how you can pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, contact our Family Talk customer care team right now at 877-732-6825. A member of our staff will be happy to pray with and for you. Again, that's 877-732-6825. Our guest today here on Family Talk has been Virginia Prodan. She's the author of a book called Saving My Assassin, the remarkable story about how an assassin broke into her office, threatened to kill her, and she preached the gospel to him and he prayed to receive Christ. It's a powerful story you won't be able to put down. You can find out how to get a copy of this book when you go to our webpage at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. That's drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for tuning in to Family Talk today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of Dr. James Dobson's powerful conversation with Virginia Prodan. That's coming up here tomorrow, right here on Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.